Let's just all continue to worship God. I want Marty, I know you're going back there. Why don't you come up here when you get a chance? Rex, you can come up here and stand too, because you're part of this testimony. I want to give you the guys the mic, but just a minute or two. Just a minute. Yeah, you can buy 3 minutes. You can buy 3 minutes. So these are two elders, and but I got to tell you, you guys just stay with us, you know, just stay in the spirit. But so last Sunday, some things are really happening in the spirit realm. They really are. And this thing that we're believing God for, supernatural, is upon us. It really is. Do you know angels are in here? Holy Spirit is in here. You're about to come and start watching and witnessing through the camera great and notable miracles like you've never seen before. Three times, I believe, last week when I stepped into the aisle and began to pray through the camera, three times the Lord appeared to me. I could see him. It was an open vision, but I could see him. And he stood to my right and he ministered. I ministered with him. He didn't minister with me. That's the better way to say it. So if he ministers with you, things happen. They really do happen. And I remember saying at one point that people even after that prayer that would watch the service afterwards would be affected. Now, how many of you remember the Tennessee Bunch coming just last week or week before? Yeah. So Cheryl, the daughter, she watched the service like an hour or so later. But she was right in the middle of it. She was having a migraine. How many have ever had a migraine? I don't know. They're really, Marty can tell you about them. They're not, you just want to get in a dark room and pray that it goes away. She was in the middle of a migraine, and when that wave came through and that prayer was prayed, in that prayer, it left. Now, that just doesn't happen. It just absolutely happened then. Homer is over in Texas. He ministered there yesterday. But he texted me and he was having an attack of some sort. And this is before he was going to go minister. He was really sick. And must have been the enemy trying to stop him. So he texted me. He said, "Would you pray?" I prayed immediately. And then he called me shortly after, just within a few minutes. He said, did you pray right then? I said, "I prayed right then." He said, "When I asked you to pray and you prayed," he said, "something come over me out here and this left." It just began to leave right then. Hallelujah. So Marty, just in a couple of minutes, just share. You step up here and take my place. Hallelujah.
I'm gonna say this like how Deborah said it, and I'm not even gonna tell it. I'm not even gonna give the devil his due. I'm not even gonna tell it. But when he called me over there, a presence just went right down the aisle. It was like a breeze. And as far as I could tell, nothing had changed because I still felt the same. But it started getting better. And I had an appointment with a specialist. And sometimes it's nice to have a specialist because he looked at me and said, "There's nothing wrong with you." And I said, "Well, you're absolutely right." And that's it.
Hallelujah. It could have, he didn't tell you, he don't want to give the enemy, but it could have been not so good. Could have been. But when, yeah, but it ain't, he said. Hallelujah.
Well, just a little bit on Marty. He can't maybe say that, but I can. He'd been suffering for 4 years with all this stuff. I mean, I watch him walk around. He's like, "Really, you're going to walk like that, Marty?" Well, he couldn't help it. You know, he couldn't help it because his hips and his joints, and everything. There was junk in there. We don't have to mention the junk because it doesn't belong in our body. But when Pastor had stepped over here, I didn't see, but there was a light that came from that direction, and it's like he said, it just walked right down here, a breeze. And I was sitting back there. I felt the breeze. And I came right over to Marty. And the Lord does what he does.
Yes.
But that's happened at several different times. Different times when, you know, when he prays or when we pray, you know.
Yes.
Because we all carry that authority.
That's right.
That the Lord just shows up. I mean, yes. We can't heal. But he shows up. If we feel that presence or not, he's there in
that's
the midst
right.
of us. He's not even a breath
Jesus.
Away from us.
Yes.
And I've seen him do it over and over and over. And can I just read one scripture
yes.
real quick? Okay. I taught on this, or I didn't teach on it, but we had our Tribe of Judah meeting yesterday. And just a little praise report for Tribe of Judah Motorcycle Ministry. We have not been able to, Biketoberfest is this weekend, and I have not missed Biketoberfest in over 20 years, okay? So I was not, I didn't know what to do, but I had a crew over there. And a couple on Friday night at the clubhouse, the ones we minister to, both husband and wife got born again on Friday,
Hallelujah.
Friday night.
That's awesome.
So that's a great praise
yes.
report.
Thank
but
you, Jesus.
Just like even Pastor was saying real quickly, that in the spiritual realm, we don't have a, there's no limits on that. We can be wherever we need to be in an instant at the speed of light, for that's how that realm works, right?
That's right.
And sometimes we see things in a lower place, you know, like it says in Isaiah 55, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth,
yes.
so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but watereth the earth, and makes it bring forth bud, and that the seed, that the and may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater."
Yes.
And then this is my favorite, one of my favorite verses. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of our mouth.
Yes.
It shall not return me void, but it shall accomplish which I please,
yes.
and it shall prosper whereunto the thing I sent. And the Lord's really had me really on that, because the enemy comes and steals our, you know, because we all can look back and say, well, you know, some prayers maybe not have been answered in full, right? We all can say that. But there's a thing coming because of this revival, and the word is true.
Yes.
It's a promise from God.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's a promise. His word is a promise to us. His
yes.
word is true. So there's nothing that we have not
yes.
prayed that can return void unto him. And when we pray these things and we walk these things out, I mean, not only does the Lord answer our prayers, but things are released. Angels
yes.
are released. You know, like Bronk had said before, that we're not, the angels don't hearken to the word of God. The angels hearken to the voice
yes.
of the word of God.
Yes.
So when we voice the word of God, things are happening. And the
yes.
promises, the great promises, it shall accomplish what he pleases. All of our prayers.
Yes.
So all of those that have not been answered in the past, guess what's happening?
Hallelujah.
With the revival. All those things, I don't know how they're going to accumulate and how they're all going to be done, but it's going to be done. Every
yes.
one of them.
Hallelujah.
And that's
Glory
what
to God.
We can look forward to.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Let's sing that again. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Praise God. I knew in my spirit that the Lord wanted me to thank you, gentlemen, for those testimonies. That this isn't the message. But he took me away in the spirit as far as to tell me that he wanted this read this morning. We'll break in just a little bit. You'll have a chance to say hello. Good to see Steve here with us today. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Father in the faith, a real father of mine in the spirit, sent me this a couple of weeks ago and asked me the question, was I in a good sense? Was I willing and ready to do this, follow this? And it's amazing that this very prophecy came from this house, and of course, your pastor, but I felt it's something that we all need to continue, myself especially included, but every single one of us, to hear these words. Because we're getting closer and closer. When he starts doing things like instantaneous healings and miracles, we really are getting closer. But we can't take it for granted. Because what brought us here to this point is what we've been doing for many years. And so the Lord gave us this prophecy back in August 25th. And I just want you to listen. I'm going to comment some, but I don't want to overly comment because we need to get to a teaching. We're still teaching on our fourth lesson on discerning of spirits. And I've really appreciated that series from the Holy Spirit. Now, the Lord said this to us, and we entitled it The Pressing In and the Extra Are Now. Maybe we'll say that together. Will you say that with me? The pressing in and the extra are now. And those of you that are watching, your family, and we appreciate you. The Lord said, I'm asking you that have ears to hear and have the capacity in the Spirit to press into this last place of dying to the flesh, says the Spirit of grace. Birth this thing, not for yourselves only, but for those who are hurting and dying in the world, committing suicide and desperate, both physical suicide and an emotional suicide. No answers to be found. Will you love me enough to go into a place, not out of desperation because things are falling apart, but rather to seek me when the sun is shining, when you have the election of choice to go in and press past barriers in the walls of flesh? It's one thing when the marriage is falling apart and you say, okay, we either got to go into God or and God does come. Or the finances are so bad that it's like, oh my God, what we've been doing is not working. He's not asking for that. He's asking if things are okay. Now he'll help you when things are. He's asking you to be faithful in prayer and seeking him when everything's all right, when there's no chance of separation. It's one thing to, oh God, if you don't help us, God, please come. And he does. He's such a good father. But what about when you're planning your next vacation, kids are okay, hardly ever an argument. You just go in there 2 or 3 times, 4 times a week, whenever you can, you press the envelope. That's what causes revival. Desperation causes salvation, like you to come out of something. Revival is birthed in when everything's okay, you're pressing in. Very few people press in when they've got $1 million in the bank. They're okay. I applaud. I know people in this room that have pressed in for years with plenty. They're heroes of mine. Dave used to say, the enemy will it's harder to defeat prosperity than it is desperation and hard times. That's okay. I'm asking you to come apart. I'm asking you to go into that place and intercede for those who cannot intercede for themselves. Do you know how you ought to pray? And this isn't put a guilt trip on anybody. If we can come to the place, the Bible says in James, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous one availeth much. I'm convinced of prayers not being answered for a number of different reasons. One, lack of faith. But the other one is the effectual ferventness. In other words, you don't really, if you can pray If you receive a prayer request, now I don't just shotgun prayers. I try not to. And I don't just, because I don't just receive everybody's prayers like looking for everybody's, because God will use you on the ones that he has. But here's the thing. If Benjamin becomes your son or your grandson, you pray a little bit different then. You stand a little bit stronger then. You imagine more then. If it's somebody I've never seen, heard of, it's like, you mean it, God help them, but it's not your baby. When it becomes your baby, there's a different prayer that's prayed. So I'm just we're just teaching a little bit. Have a seat. Thank you for praying. Continue to, yeah. I'm asking you to come apart. Go into that place. He says, intercede for those who cannot intercede for themselves and birth this thing. Bring it to pass so that a presence hovers over this church and over this city and over this region and creates an atmosphere that's so conducive for salvation that people are continuing to yield without solicitation from others. But what is on their minds and what is being amplified through the atmosphere is, what must I do to change my life? Where's the answer? What must I do to be saved? Does God have an answer for my life? And in that cry, I'll answer them. The lost with love and an atmosphere coming out of this place, as houses like it and places like it, and through individuals that are watching these streaming services, who for the time being, their home and their church, their home is their church. I'll emanate from you and I'll ooze out of your particular location, says the Spirit of God. When he's saying that, an atmosphere, we talk about an atmosphere. Do you know in the book of Revelation? In the book of Revelation, somebody's phone, he says that in the end, that there will be an everlasting gospel preached by angels that will fly through the heavens. We're still here. What are they? I don't think people are going to see an angel, but it says that they will be preaching this everlasting gospel. Do you know when angels fly over cities and speak Jesus into the atmosphere, demons flee? And an atmosphere, people just begin to wake up. They're like, they were zombies, and now they begin to wake up because angels fly over regions. We've got angels dispatched over Immokalee and over this region. You ought to get up in the morning, when you think about it, and release angels into your day. Just release them into your day. They'll create atmospheres in front of you. They'll usher demons away. Hallelujah. And now if you forget, God's still with you anyway. I'm just telling you, taking authority in your life on a continual basis. Now is the time of pressing. Now is the time for extra. Don't believe your flesh. It will lie to you. And if you agree with it, then the two will make one. What does the word tells us? Two or three agree together. Do not agree with your flesh that you do not have the time, or the excuse that offers that you cannot because of other things. For now is the time to push in, to press. Listen, I got to stop. I'm begging all of you and all of us. Sow into your families. So don't, not anybody in the camera, not anybody here, don't take any condemnation in this, because if you do, you'll lose the essence of it, and then what was supposed to help you won't work. You'll just be thinking about receive the edification. Please, with these little ones, spend at least, I don't know, maybe we were legalistic, I don't know, but it helped. Both of them are here. I guess I was legalistic, but it helped. They're serving God. 5 or 6 days a week, We had them in there praying in tongues. They didn't like me. Derek, you know, Pastor Dave said you could actually, you know, pay your kids if necessary. Praying in tongues is the greatest default. I love praying in tongues for a number of different reasons. It's for lazy people. If you don't have a Bible verse or you don't can't think of anything and you can't, just have them pray in tongues, because even if they're mad, it's working. Because the disposition of their soul doesn't dictate what is being said in the spirit. So I, you know, you can just pray in tongues. I hate that person. I just soon run over them with a truck. And the tongue is working, because it's not praying that. It's praying something right and nice. So I'm begging you, parents, not only look and see what their own, on, you know, their phones and their tablets, check it. I'm sure there's, we got great kids watching, but please, we're supposed to be their covering. And the world is so woke. The world is woke. But just do it on the slide. Just do it on the, hey, we ain't got but 10 minutes before we go to bed. Get them filled with the Spirit and say, you know what? Daddy don't have any time. Y'all pray for 10 minutes in the Spirit. Or mom, or just two or three times a week. Get them praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will babysit them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For now is the time to push in, to press towards the mark. For the day and hour will change and the atmosphere will come and the Son of Healing will arise with healing in his wings, and the atmosphere will change and breath will come over the land called revival and restoration and renewal. For the pressing is now and the extra time is now. The time of commitment is now for more. For the time will come, says the Spirit of the Lord, that like my son, when he was on the earth, who sought me privately, his entire life was engaged out of ministry, out of that place in his life. That is that his entire life was a continual ministry, going to and fro and ministering so much that my word says that if the things recorded of his ministry could have been put down in a book, one would suppose that the whole world, this is John's last chapter, the whole world could not contain the books that would have been written of his works. And the same things will be said of you. You'll be very busy. Now listen to this part. We're getting closer. You'll be very busy. That's for all of our revivalists and men that are working, women that are working, people that have, you'll be busy in the things of God, right along with doing your work. God will make supernatural opportunities. You'll be very busy in good things. The church will be full and robust and bustling, going here and there, and great works will be done, like as was recorded in the strongest time of the book of Acts. This will last to the end. And you'll cry out in your hearts in desperations, longing out of that place of intimacy that was nurtured and built and grew during this time. You'll say, Lord, I'm desiring more time in you because I'm so consumed in doing your ministry. Lord, I'm just like, man, I just miss those hours. You know, Lord, I'm just raising the dead every day, but I just wish I could just get some quiet time to spend with the Lord. You'll say, Lord, I'm desiring more time in you. You'll weep in a wonderful way, and I'll console you, he says, that it seems as if the multiple hours and times that you would spend in birthing, that's our time that we're doing now, is not where you'll be in the time, in that time, because you'll be so inundated in a beautiful way with ministry. Pastor Dave used to say, you're going to be so busy doing wonderful things in services. The services will last and last, and it'll just be so wonderful. So much happening, so many people getting saved, that you'll just wish that you had, there was a cot somewhere in the corner that you could go lay down on. We'll have to bring in pizza for people to eat, to get their carbs up, to do another prayer line. But what was birthed will sustain. In other words, what brought you there will keep you. And what brought you forth in birthing will sustain you in intimacy and fellowship. He says, I'll intimately commune with you as you lay hands on the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils. And your days will be filled with many works. The season will change. It will change. You'll long for private prayer times. And that will never be completely dismissed. But mark my words, says the Spirit of grace, the season is now for pressing, because it will change into ministry. The pressing will change into ministry. You've not seen the season of ministry yet. We've ministered, you've ministered, I've ministered, but I'm talking about mass ministry. I'm talking about just incredible church growth that comes through that type of ministry. You'll cry out for the great works, and you'll cry out for revival. What you're crying out for, you cry out, he says already, you cry out for great works, and you cry out for revival. What you're crying out for is something you've not imagined fully. It will be very time-consuming, so much that you'll relish the days when you had the hours to spend privately. But now is the time, says the Spirit of the Lord, last paragraph, as the waters cover the earth, as the waters of the sea cover the earth, as my prophet said, so will it be of my presence that will cover the planet. I'll harvest 1 billion-plus souls, bring them in, and get them ready to go through whatever the enemy has planned in these last days. And I'll come, and I'll harvest the earth with my angels, and I'll separate the sheep from the goats. But you'll always remember, this was something that we'll always remember 1 million years from now, you'll always remember these days that I ask you to press in and push past the flesh and all negotiation with the flesh. Now is the time, says the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand with me again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah. Magnify you. Just worship with me just a little bit. We magnify you, Jesus. 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 Melachalindi irisotiala. Dumbe de kirisetieta. Mode de kirisetiete. Yes, sir. Think it not strange, the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing was happening to you. For those of you that press in, the enemy will come. He'll come with wicked imaginations and pressings of the flesh and accuse you to yourself that what he brings is who you are. But understand this, that these things were addressed when I said that there were 8 evil spirits assigned against the revivalist that would accuse them. But know that those who press in do not believe your flesh nor the accuser of the brethren. For he knows that his days are limited, not just on planet earth as in end times, but his days are limited in the revival that is here and is at hand. So do not discuss with him, but speak my word against all accusations of the flesh. Continue to move in, garrison your hearts and your minds, fast often. Pray often in the Spirit. Spend your time and know that when he comes, it's out of fear of the ground that he's losing. But do not contend with him out of your flesh, but just continue to stay steadfast in the Spirit. Do not go into reasonings. but go into my spirit. Turn a deaf ear to his accusations and move forward by my spirit, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We just lift up your name, 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 Jesus. Bela carasso lo Christe te. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Candy, can you give me one of those waters, please? Thank you, ma'am. Either one's fine. Thank you, ma'am. Hallelujah. Well, we're on our fourth week in discerning of spirits. And I have felt in my spirit that this has been a very profitable teaching. Mavis, you're doing okay. You're good. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. The glory passed through her body. The same glory. Yes, Jesus. Same glory. Jesus' name. We receive of you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So let's recap just a little bit. You can just sit and listen, of course. And there's always a necessity for recapping because it kind of gets the juices going again. You've been away for a week on this particular subject. And it's important that you get this down in your spirit. It's important that you're able to understand what the Holy Spirit is trying to get across for the purposes of sowing for your future, really putting this inside of you. So discerning of spirits, that's one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, and we address that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says this, and you can just listen, not turn there until we get to some longer scriptures, longer portions of scriptures. 12:10 says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and he's talking about gifts of the Spirit, to another discerning of spirits, and that's where we're at on these lessons. To another, divers kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. So he's speaking to us here that there is a necessity for us to receive this particular gift of discerning of spirits for the purposes, not just for revival, but we, as we have been bearing out over the last few weeks, for your own personal life. In this chapter, there are nine gifts of the Spirit, five administration gifts, and eight operations, if you study this out. We have taught on these things extensively before in the past. Now, let me remind you that Jesus, when he was addressed by the 70 disciples that came back, and they were amazed by the demonic spirits that were subject to them, and he cast them out, that Jesus had a moment of, you could call it word of knowledge, but it was more than that. He actually, based on our teaching and the Greek that we went into, that Jesus had a moment of discerning of spirits, that he actually was able to look into the spirit realm. And he said some things there in Luke's gospel, and we don't have that recorded exactly again to read, but we said this, and it was not, it did not demoralize the scripture at all, or take away from the structural integrity of it, that Jesus literally said, this is what he said when the disciples said, we had demons that were subject to us. We cast them out in your name, and they were subject. And Jesus literally said, I discerned, this was his response, I discerned, looked, and saw into the spirit realm while you guys were doing this. When you were casting out devils in these cities, and it appeared as lightning falling from the sky. Satan's dominion was being broken. Now, what was he identifying? Jesus was seeing demonic warfare and how that our prayers and how that your authority, when you speak, something happens. If we could see into the spirit realm, some of you have been so, you've been so protected in a certain way. and haven't seen a lot of things, and maybe those days are coming, and I'm sure they are. Demons being cast out. I grew up with demons being cast out. I grew up around that, and it was very familiar. We haven't seen that. We're not going to become demonstrative, but we're going to become very familiar. There's a lot more people. Listen, you say that only's in third world countries or places where they're heavily witchcraft. No, there's a lot more people demon possessed than what you realize. It is just that the power of God is not manifest so strong. You turn up the thermostat on God's power, demons will start manifesting. Sometimes they'll manifest in people that you are surprised. And that doesn't mean they're necessarily possessed, but some people are very oppressed. And they need something cast off of them. I'm going to say it that way. Elisha and his servant in 2 Kings chapter 6 saw angels. They discerned angels. I'd rather see angels. Now, I was casting out a demon one time, and a man there might have been one other guy in there, one of my elders with me, I can't remember, but we brought him in, and he was possessed, and I set him in a chair, and I spoke to it, and I began to cast it out and tell it to come out of him. But he wasn't looking at me. He was looking at something over me, and his eyes were like big as bugs. I mean, they were like, and I could tell he was afraid, but he wasn't afraid of me. And he was looking, and I knew, the Lord told me, he said, you got two angels behind you. And I knew that, and I said, he was like, God bless him. You know, he was getting free, but I said, what are you looking at? Cause I wanted to know. He said, I'm looking at angels. I said, you're looking at angels, aren't you? And he said, yeah, there's two of them. He goes, yeah, there's two of them right behind you. So, seeing into the spirit realm and knowing where you're walking provides a great level of confidence. Hallelujah. And even when you can't see them, they're there. They're around you. God's spirit is in you and he's around you. And then, of course, you have the axe, you know, that's icing on the cake to have angelic hosts. Elisha and his protege or his servant said, open his eyes, Lord. And he saw, discerned in the spirit, and he could see that there was angels. And what happened as a result, he was at one point very, very fearful. And the next point, he's like, we don't hear what his reaction was. But if you see, literally, if you see an army that's going to come and get you, and then you see another army, which is angels, it relaxes you. It really does. It's like, okay. And Elisha was, there's more of them than there, you know, for us than that are against us. And I said this and repeated, I've already mentioned it once. What will seeing or discerning do for your faith in spiritual warfare for your city or your nation? I think that sometimes, and none of us have arrived, but I think sometimes Christians that are even mature Christians don't realize the spirit realm. When you get an attitude in your home and you start fighting, it wasn't because she burnt the bacon or he didn't do his, and an atmosphere comes. And sometimes even when there's nothing wrong, there's something wrong. Candy and I have been married 47 years this coming June. There has been multiple times where we could, it got thick. It got real. She hadn't done anything. I hadn't done anything. If either one of us had, it'd been me. I don't know why. God always tells me she's right. I don't know why. I think I'm right. He always says, no, she's right. Hallelujah. But multiple times, we just have to stop. If you don't stop, it'll just... Listen. Having a problem or a fight, it's not good. But make up. That's not so dangerous. Smolters will destroy marriages. Let it go a day, 2 days, 3 days. And you just need to get the demon out. It may be more than one. And sometimes you don't want to get the devil out. You're just kind of like, I'm glad I'm mad and I want to stay mad. Nobody's ever felt like that, right? But you've got to buck up and say, okay, this ain't leaving until I make it leave. And then you got to speak to it like you can't be wimpy about it. Like, don't talk to God about it. This ain't talk to God time. You don't talk to God about demons. You speak directly to the demon. God's given you the authority. One time, Kenneth Hagin was talking to Jesus appeared to him in the church. I think it was after or something. He was praying and Jesus appeared and Jesus started trying to talk to him and he was going to give him instructions. And he could tell, he looked and he called the imps. There was a devil come along. It was on the stage and Jesus said, son, I want you. And he started, every time he would start to talk, the devil would go, ah! And just override, and Jesus would start to tell him, you know, what I'm going to do in the next few years of your life, and the devil just and Kenneth Hagin's trying to listen, and he's trying to listen to him, to Jesus. The thing got so loud, and finally, he just, out of anger, he said, you shut up and leave. Go. And that thing just took out the door, went right through the wall, just gone. Jesus' name. And Jesus said to him, I'm so glad you did that. He said, you're so glad I did that. What? He said, you're the Lord. Why didn't you do it? He said, oh, no, son. He said, I left all authority to you. I don't have authority here on this planet. You're the one in authority. He said, I'm glad you got him out of here. He's bothering me too. I didn't know I was going to go this direction, but some of you need to hear it. Don't ask Jesus, will you please take care of this oppression in my life? Oh, he's already taken, the authority is given to you. You say what's up and what's down and what comes and what goes. You say, you set the thermostat in your home. If you don't like it, don't talk to Jesus about it. Tell it to vacate. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I talked about glitches. How many are having a good time? I named one vision that I had. I glitched into the spirit. I won't go into that, all that. I hired a man that I loved. He was a good man. He backslid. When the Lord was teaching me on discerning of spirits, I glitched in the spirit. I saw into the spirit realm. People were around me, but I saw this man and I saw him for really what he was becoming or what he was already in his heart. And it changed how I see things and how that I can trust more in the spirit realm than I can even in the natural realm. Discerning of spirits goes into human, discerning human spirits. God will show you human spirits, where they're at. You know, and you don't have control. Now, here's the thing. Always remember this. It's witchcraft to tell God, make that person do such and such. You don't have control over human spirits. You have control over all demon spirits. But for you to start saying, you, God, you make them do this, you can pray that God, now there's where you pray to, you pray to God, that God influences them. But for you to dictate and say, I say this person does this. God, you're going to, you know, this person yields to you because you're dealing with him. But you do not have, God did not give you authority over a human spirit. That's why we can't say, God, make people vote righteously. He can't make anybody do anything. The sovereign God cannot, he'll get the last word, he'll say who goes to heaven. But he can't, you can stand up and just curse him and he can't stop you. Unless he takes your breath away and then you go to heaven or hell or, yeah, probably hell. Thank you. Discerning of, this is important, discerning the sent ones. We talked about the sent one, the sent ones for your family. You papas and mamas and everybody, sent ones. I won't belabor that. Church, sent ones to the church, sent ones to your business. Some people are sent to wreck your business. And you think, to start with, they were sent by God. We talked about every one of you becoming a firewall in the spirit of elders that are absolutely a firewall to stop this. I don't want to produce mean and ugly people as far as not being nice. I want you to be so sweet. Maybe I leave that off. I've said this, maybe, but you all of us, you ought to be able to work as a CIA operative. In other words, you can just love on people and truly love them. I mean, really love them, but all at the same time, discern everything. Discern everything. Don't get giddy. Don't get giddy like some immature kid. Love everybody, but discern everything around you. Revival atmosphere, revival excitement can never replace sobriety and discernment. Everybody remember Jesus in my belly? Everybody put your hand on your belly. Say, I've got Jesus in my belly, and I can discern all things. Discerning of spirits can come through, and we talked about this, or can be assisted by dreams and visions. And I won't belabor this because I've talked about it the last 3 weeks, this being the fourth. I talked about the fake Jesus, and Jesus taught me some things about that, the fake or phony Jesus, or the fake revival atmosphere. Demons can replace a Holy Ghost atmosphere when the flesh is allowed. And that happens by a lot of times by what's up here and not, thank God, not what's up here. And I don't boast, but I thank God. But if worship teams across America are filled, and I hate to, this lets you know, this will only help you. There's some incredibly wonderful Spirit-filled, genuine, pure mega churches. And they love God. And I'm finding out there's a lot of people, millions, that are on, they might not be saying these exact same things, but they love God and they're seeking God. And we just have to embrace them and say, thank you, Jesus. Absolutely. We haven't arrived. Hallelujah. Otherwise, if everything that we knew was right, perfectly right, we'd already have revival. So we ought to humble ourselves and say, teach us, Jesus. But across America, there's gay people leading worship. And the problem is, either the pastor don't know about it, he can't discern enough. If he can't discern enough, if it's a shock to him, if he goes, oh my God, when he finds out, if he goes, oh my God, there's something wrong with him. Not that he's gay, but he's not, why did he not know it? Elaine Homer one time was talking to a pastor, and she was a visiting, you know, Elaine was a visiting evangelist, and she was talking to the pastor, and she said, she's just talking to him, and she just let it, you know how she was. Oh, Jesus. I wish all of you would have met Elaine. She was a firecracker, woman of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, my God. Incredible. Just a preacher's preacher. But she's just talking to the pastor, and she said, how long have you known, or something like this, she goes, that your worship leader and this other leader, two men, are having an affair. And he was like, what? Yeah, how long? She said, oh, no, they're straight up homosexuals. And sure enough, they were. And it shocked him. And it shocked whoever found out. But listen, when atmospheres are being produced by high revolution, by the flesh, it will cover, and sometimes for a little season, the anointing will stay, hoping that people repent. But if the head sees it, first of all, he needs to be praying enough, or she needs to be praying enough that they see it. But once they see it and don't do anything about it, the original, the genuine one will be switched by a phony. And you'll have people just thinking that they're under the anointing every week, and it'll be a fake and phony anointing. Because the word Satan, Diablo, means it's a number of different Greek, but part of it is the twister. He twists things. He's perverted. He wants to be like God. And so whatever God has done, he mimics it. He loves worship. He'll even take second-hand worship. Even if the doorposts or the marquee says Church of God of, you know, and I'm not talking about the Church of God denomination, but this church is a, you know, a regular church. If he can get perversion on the stage and the head doesn't do anything about it because people really like this worship, if the head doesn't do anything about it, it'll be switched in time to come. It'll go from genuine to phony. And it's like a bunch. You could have 1,000 people. And if they just keep sitting under it, it'll be like, you know, the and I don't know if this is a, you know, it's maybe just a forest, but, you know, it's like they say the frog, you boil him. You just slowly boil him. He won't jump out of the pot. If you throw him in there and it's hot, he'll jump out. But if you boil him slowly, but the people become zombies. If they can't discern, you need to stay in a spirit where, you know, you're praying. So you walk into a room and somebody invites you. And I hope every church in this area is great. But somebody invites you to their church and you walk in, you go, I feel nasty in here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The fake revival atmosphere. And then we talked about Jacob's ladder. We need to get on here, but this is all good. It's all good. How many are learning something? In Genesis chapter 28, Jacob when he was before he became Israel. He and his name was still Jacob. That God came to him and showed him a change. But he not only showed him a change in his life, but a covenant change that he was going to introduce him from being Jacob, the supplanter, the twister, the deceiver. And he said, I'm going to be the God to you that I am to your father or your grandfather, Abraham, and to Isaac. And what did he establish that with? He established it with a vision. And in the vision, cut this short, God was standing at the top of a ladder and angels were ascending and descending. Now, why is that important? Because God's at the top. He's speaking to Jacob. I'm going to give you, it was 20 years later, several years later, after he went to Laban's house and comes back and then has another vision where he wrestles with God all night. That's when God changes his name. But in this vision, God says, I'm going to establish a covenant with you. And he sees this ladder. And what did we see? What we saw in that was angels were ascending. So in this teaching, we're not only teaching about discerning of spirits, but we're talking about the activity of angels as well. Because that's often what goes on in discerning of spirits. Jesus had his ladder, per se. It doesn't say that, but in John chapter 1, Jesus talks to Nathanael when Philip goes and gets him and says, I saw you under the fig tree. And we talked about that whole thing, how that what it had cost Nathanael to choose to not have guile in his heart. Jesus discerned that. He had a word of knowledge, but he also had a discerning of spirit in this sense of the word, or he told Nathanael about a discerning of spirit, because Nathanael's reaction was, you are the king of Israel. You're the son of God. And he said, does that impress you? I'm going to tell you what's going to really impress you. After this, once you follow me for the next 3.5 years, you're going to see angels ascending and descending. I say a ladder because it reminds me of Jacob's ladder. It was the establishment of a covenant in the old. Now the new, which is Jesus, is establishing his covenant, his kingdom on the earth. And he's saying, these angels, wherever I go, Nathanael, I don't know if Nathanael actually saw them or he just witnessed them in the sense of the word that everywhere Jesus went, things were happening. What about your ladder? We all should have a ladder. All of us should have a spiritual ladder where we're conscious and cognizant of the truth that wherever we go, angels are ascending and descending, that we create an atmosphere. Unless you get conscious of this and work on activating it, you'll just be you. You'll just think you. But what if you go into meetings? What if you go into different things that absolutely, that God has sent you there, whether it's healing, whether it's a business meeting, whether it's you're going to go lay hands on the sick, or you're just going to go talk to somebody and give them counsel. But yet you're praying and you know that as you go, angels are ascending and descending. And we talked about ascending means going to get direction. So the Holy Spirit's always with you. We know that. But the angels are ascending and descending. But whether you see them or you don't see them, the great confidence is this, that they're always working on your behalf. Amen. Hallelujah. So each one of us have a ladder ascending into heaven. Why don't you say this with me? I say that I have a ladder where angels are ascending and descending. Now, let me get into this for a moment. Turn with me to John chapter 2, verse 23. This is Jesus. This has a little bit to do with, well, I'd say more than a little bit. It actually kind of epitomizes what I'm talking about, having an ability to look into the spirit realm and look into people's lives and look into discern certain things about people. And this is kind of an unusual. A lot of times people don't even see this. as something that I would identify here in this teaching as discerning of spirits or being able to discern people. But the word says here in John chapter 2, let's start. I'm not going to give you very many verses here. Verse 23, and now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. So there's a lot going on, and boy, people are really impressed with what Jesus is doing. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Now that kind of sounds King Jamesy, and again, we're going to kind of explain this. It'll kind of help you a little bit here. Let me read it out of the Amplified. Same scripture. Verse 23. But when he was in Jerusalem during the Passover feast, many believed in his name, identified themselves with his party after seeing his signs, wonders, miracles, which he did, which he was doing. But Jesus, for his part, on his part, did not trust himself to them because he knew all men. And this is an important verse. And he did not need anyone to bear witness concerning man, needed no evidence from anyone about men, for he himself knew what was in human nature. He could read, I like this out of the Amplified, he could read men's hearts. Isn't that good? He could read men's hearts. Listen to this. An overcommitment because of respect of persons can thwart the plan of God. An overcommitment on your part, if you overcommit, this is what the scripture was saying, that they were all like so impressed with Jesus, and they were like pressing him. But here's the mark of maturity, that Jesus himself didn't need the acclamations or the affirmations of mankind to build him up, because the ones that applauded him would soon, 3 years later, hang him on a cross. Don't be impressed with people. Overly impression with people will get you in trouble. Love them, but don't let anybody overly impress you. Not a preacher, not anybody. Oh, come on now. Glory be to God. Jesus was not impressed with people. Discerning of spirits and overcommitment because of respect of persons can thwart, as I said, the plans of God. Jesus was not impressed with people. He loved them. He was love with legs. But that didn't bend his will. In other words, you could not compliment Jesus into dropping his standards or his discernment. Glory be to God. Where people get, and we've all experienced this, where people run into problems is they'll drop their discernment under flattery. Wow. Really? I'm pretty. I'm handsome. I'm the best preacher you ever heard. Yes, you are. But let me share something with you. Let me tweak something in your life. Sneaky snake. Hey, this gets it down, right? This teaches us all to grow up. Jesus was not impressed with people. He loved them. He just wasn't impressed with them. Discerning of spirits is looking into things not seen. I'll just read this. Well, you can turn there if you're quick enough, but I'm just going to read it. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, and this is kind of the fruit of what we're talking about. I could teach on this and the more of the fruit of it, but it does serve an example, at least in the last verse. For which cause we faint not, but because our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We need to be continually looking into the things that are not seen. And sometimes you'll see them. I'm not talking about us all walking around seeing angels, demons, and just, you know, a lot of times things will begin to, I'll use this word, progress on you or dawn on you. You'll begin to say, okay, I'm catching this now. I'm discerning this now. Discernings of spirits will bring division at times. A discerning of spirits gift will bring division. Jesus said this, and I'll say this, truth or discerning of spirits often will bring a separation. Now, this verse here, we're familiar with it. You've heard this before. It's Matthew 10, 34 and 35, two verses. Jesus said, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. People, they'll quote every other verse about unity, but they'll never quote that. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father and a daughter against her mother. And the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now, Jesus is not trying to cause trouble in home. It's truth. Truth sometimes will separate. And here's a good example. This is a separation between Jesus and even his apostles. Two examples. This is in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. You can follow along. I'll just give you a second on that. 9:51, Luke 9:51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. That means that he just had a determination. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm just going to bypass everything, keep going forward. And he sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. So he sent some of his messengers, being his disciples. Make ready means to go and buy food, maybe prepare lodging, do whatever is necessary for him as they're going forward. And they did not, that Samaritan city, they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go into Jerusalem. Now, what does that mean? We don't catch it, because what that means is they wouldn't sell him anything. They just, you know, canceled them. They said, no, no lodging here for you. You know, the hotel says vacancy. No, we don't have any vacancies. Oh, how many do you need for 12 men? 13? No, we're all filled up. Next guy comes to, oh yeah, we've got plenty of rooms. No, they would not receive him, nor would they sell him goods. Why? Because he was not going to enter in and stay. He was bypassing and going forward. He just needed a short stop for the day, for the night, and keep going forward. And it offended them, because you're saying, because they were continually offended, because the Jews offended the Samaritans all the time. You're dogs. You're worthless. Your half-breeds. The Samaritans were the left when, real quick, when Nebuchadnezzar took all of the Jews, or most of the Jews, over to Babylon, Iraq, and the residual Jews, there wasn't enough wives and men, so they married Gentiles. And so they're half, you know, Gentile and half. And when the Jews came back 70 years later, they just hated them. You know, they hated them. They hated the mix. And they just, so the Samaritans also had a chip on their shoulder, because, you know, it's like, and sometimes, well, for right reasons, some minorities a lot of times have a chip because they've been treated. Some of them have been really, and so the Samaritans were like, you know what? No, we don't want him in here. We're not selling him anything. And so as a result of it, look at what John and James and John say. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command, this sounded so good, command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did. They even had word on it. They had word on it. Old Testament example. Because it was like, yes, I know he's going to let us do this. This is going to be fun. We're going to surprise some Samaritans. This is going to be really good. But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man, see, this is more than just, some people just interpret, you don't know what kind of attitude you have or frame of, yeah, there was a stronghold. The Jews did not respect the Samaritans, but there was something more here because Jesus said, you don't even know what spirit you are of. This is more than an attitude. This is more than a mental disposition. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. They had a religious spirit on them. A religious spirit can even quote the Word of God. It can quote the Word of God. But Jesus looked right at them and said, look, you guys are way out of order. I came to save people, not to kill them. And I'll bet you, have you ever spoke up in class in high school or college and thought, man, I've got the answer. You spoke up and you're like, pick me. Yes. And you said something and it was dead wrong. And you're like, rut-row, I need to go to the bathroom. And you can feel the blood going out of your face. It's like, I'm not here. And James and John were like, because the other 10 were looking at him like, you guys are stupid. Yeah. And they all probably wanted to do it too. But they were glad that they were the religious guys. And Jesus just, see, this is the other thing. Jesus loved his disciples and me enough that he'll rebuke us in love and say, no, you don't even know. That's absolutely, totally, 100% against what I've come for. He does this with Peter, and you know this story here. This is in Mark chapter 8, verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. And when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, he didn't say, get thee behind me, Peter. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. He's discerning. He's seeing. This is just in a word of knowledge and just not just the truth. This is that Jesus knows exactly what he's dealing with here. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Mark 16 has the same rendition. Jesus took him, or Peter took him. This is the same thing. Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. He actually turned his back on Peter. He turned. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. I still remember today the classroom at Southeastern Bible College. It's now a university in Lakeland. And I remember being in that class, and Dr. Mendez, who was a studied man, and he was talking about this particular, I think the class was New Testament Survey. I can't remember. But he got to this point and he said, so he's digging into the original. And he said, Peter, actually, what the original spells out is we don't get it enough, the rebuke here. He actually takes him aside and he actually is cursing. He's actually cursing. He's so upset that what Jesus has said, that he's probably, you know, maybe he's got his hands on Jesus, I don't know, but he's actually, you know, Dr. Mendez was saying what is, you know, bears out there in, I guess, the original. He says, Peter's beside himself. He's cursing. And he's like, the blankety blank, you're not. You know, I don't know what they spoke in Arabic or, you know. So, but the Greek doesn't bear all that out, except you look into it. But he's cursing. He's upset that Jesus is saying this. So he's really rebuking. The word rebuke doesn't carry, you know, our English rendition of that doesn't carry the full weight of just what Peter was doing. Listen, if we don't walk in discerning of spirits, now this, you need to catch this. This is maybe the best line of the day. If you don't walk in discerning of spirits, someone close to you will wreck your spiritual destiny with human compassion. That's what Peter was like. No. You can't do this. I'll read that again because it's a good one. If you don't walk in discerning of spirits, someone close to you will wreck your spiritual destiny with human compassion. Glory to God. A devil, which was Satan, joined with Peter, because Peter's joined with Peter's preconceived ideas of Jesus' assignment. I'll read that again. I muddied it a little bit. A devil, which was Satan, joined Peter's preconceived ideas of Jesus' assignment. Peter had a preconceived idea, which was a stronghold to him. He did not see the end result was a spiritual kingdom. However, whatever he imagined was probably more, it was a combine of spiritual and political, an ascension into over Israel, maybe a dispelling of the Roman government. But he did not imagine Jesus coming to an end and being destroyed. And when this came to him, it was a shock to him. But Satan also knew by just following Peter that, you know, Jesus, you know, one time it says that he asked him when he got to a certain place, he goes, and he knew, he could discern. He said, what were you discussing while we were traveling? Because he knew what they were discussing. And they were discussing who's going to be greatest. And then they heard other things like the two sons of Zebedee, James and John. Their mom got involved, came to Jesus. Would you please? They all had this stronghold of something that was not realistic. So when Satan sees this and Jesus says this, Satan jumps on it and brings out this stronghold so that Peter just blurts out and curses and said, no, the you know what, blankety blank, you are not going to do this. Jesus turns his back on him and says, get thee behind me, Satan. He saw into the spirit realm. Peter had a stronghold in his mind concerning Jesus, and Satan took advantage of that stronghold. Be careful. Be careful. This is another one very close to the one I just read. Be careful that those who love you the most don't speak by a spirit out of a stronghold. Don't speak motivated. I'll have to read this again. Be careful that those who love you the most don't speak motivated by a spirit out of a stronghold of their belief. Be careful that those who love you the most don't speak motivated by a spirit out of a stronghold of their belief. For you, or what Gary Carpenter say, human compassion when substituted for God's compassion, or maybe it was the other way. God's compassion when substituted for human compassion is as poison as, I don't know what it was, strychnine or arsenic. It'll kill you. It'll kill you. And yet they think they're helping you. And a lot of times they're motivated by a spirit. But when you have discerning of spirits and walk in love, you can love the person but say, no, 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 no. And those things did bring a temporary division. You don't see it as much probably with James and John, but when they're like rut row, they're probably walking around for a few days with their bottom lip out. Well, we were just trying to do something good, you know, and you just embarrassed us. They probably didn't say that, but they're thinking, you embarrassed us in front of everybody. We were trying to be spiritual. We even had Old Testament scripture on it. We were going to just, you know, we're going to show how wonder who you are. He said, no, that's a demon. That's a devil. And then Peter had his own fight with being put out with Christ. Just a few more minutes. But he got healed as well. This is Jesus discerning spirits. You could say a word of knowledge, but it's also discerning of spirits in this way. Mark 9:25, when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, he identified, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. He identified the spirit. And also don't get legalistic about always having to identify the spirit. You know, prayer cloths sent out in, was it Acts 19? Yeah. Prayer cloths cast out spirit and they didn't ask the demon their names. So never, don't get flaky on any, well, it's cookie cutter. It's always got to be this way. Acts chapter 16, verse 16, it says that it came to pass as he went to prayer, this is Paul. A certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us. That's Luke. And then Silas was with them, cried saying, these men, this is what this lady was saying. It doesn't sound bad. These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. What's wrong with that? That's pretty good. These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee. So he turned, he is like, I can't take this anymore. And he discerned it. This is a, you know, when we first got here at Philippi or whatever, we're walking around, this woman's coming up, and we're like, that's kind of weird, but maybe God's, you know, announcing us to the people. And, you know, after 3 days, it's like, no, this ain't Holy Ghost. This is a devil. This is a stinking, and he discerned that. And he said, I command thee in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Listen, this spirit was mocking them. It was mocking them and therefore discrediting them for the gospel's sake. And Paul went into discerning of spirits and cast it out. Now, here's a question. And how many modern day preachers would just receive the praise and never discern the spirit? Things mocking you, bro. You think it's Holy Ghost. You need to get it out of your church. Amen. We got more. Hallelujah. We'll be back on it Sunday unless we go straight into revival. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Come and support us tonight in prayer. There'll be some here that'll be seeking God. And we'll be here at 6, or they'll be here at 6. I fly out at 5 in the morning, 5:40, so I might not be here at 6. But Miss Gay will be here at 6. Right, Miss Gay? Amen. Okay, I'm putting her on the spot. I know she's helping some people move today, but hallelujah. You better show up at 6. Hallelujah. I'm here at 6 every week unless I'm flying out at 5. Okay? Father, we worship you. If there's anybody, listen, if there's anybody through that camera or in here that does not know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, please pray with me right now. Don't spend another day. Don't go to sleep tonight, today. Don't live another day without Christ. Say these words with me, would you? Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in your blood. And I will forever serve you. I love you, Jesus. I need redemption in my life. I need healing. You're the healer. I come to you as I am. And I give myself over to you. Take me back, Lord. Wash me clean. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. If you prayed that prayer, go on our website. Look at those 10 basic fundamental discipleship training series. There you go. So, glory. We love you. We'll see you tonight. Amen.